Well, we're going to turn again in our Bibles. This time we're going to turn back to the Lord's Prayer that we've been looking at for these last few weeks. So Matthew chapter 6, Lord's Prayer. And again, we're going to read it together this evening. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Well, tonight we're looking at the fifth request, found in verse 12. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Sometimes whenever we try and obey God's laws, other people aren't going to like it. Whenever a Christian tries to stay sexually pure, for example, many non-Christians say, well, they're just behind the times. Or if a Christian tries to keep the Sabbath day holy, well, they're just being restrictive. Or if a Christian says there's only one God, the accusation is that they're being narrow-minded. But interestingly, this command that we have in the Bible to forgive others, most people don't seem to have a problem with. In fact, most people, whether they're Christians or not, think this is a great idea. And I'm sure you've probably heard non-Christians talking about it and maybe even saying, really important that we forgive and forget. And they're right. It is important we forgive. But the problem is, that phrase isn't all that realistic. It doesn't take into account how much damage other people can do to us. And it ignores the fact that forgiving is actually a really difficult thing for somebody to do. And yet, in the Bible, Jesus does call on us to forgive others. But hopefully tonight, as we study his word, we'll see that he actually gives us the means to obey this command. We're going to be looking at three things tonight. The first thing is debt that overwhelms. Debt that overwhelms. According to this passage, both the fifth request in the Lord's Prayer and the two verses at the end of the prayer, each one of us has two different problems. First problem is that other people sin against us. And the second problem is that we sin against God. And in this passage, Jesus describes this sin as debt. That's quite a helpful way for us to understand it. Because a person goes into debt whenever they give someone less than what they're entitled to. And that's exactly what happens when someone sins against us. They're giving us less than we're entitled to. And it's exactly what happens whenever we sin against God. And this debt is something that every single person has to think about. Everybody in the world sins, and everybody gets sinned against. And Jesus has a realistic view of what it's like to be sinned against. I mentioned that phrase, forgive and forget. And I said it's not terribly realistic. You know, sometimes it is fairly easy to brush off sin. Some sins are fairly small, that people commit against us, and we can just forget about it. But sometimes that just isn't possible. Sometimes whenever someone sins against us, it's incredibly painful. Maybe you know what that's like. Maybe you've been hurt by the way someone's treated you. Maybe you've been betrayed by someone you thought you could trust. Maybe you know what it's like to be absolutely distraught because somebody has sinned against you. And if that's the case, it's impossible to forgive and forget. No matter how much you try and forget about it, the memories of the hurt just keep on coming back. It's a terrible thing when somebody sins against us. It can make us feel worthless. It can poison our friendships. And it can do all sorts of damage. This debt that other people owe to us is incredibly destructive. Jesus speaks here about something that's even more destructive than that. And it's the second type of debt. It's the debt that each of us owe to God. And this debt towers way above anything that anyone else owes to us. Just stop and think about it for a moment. What is God entitled to? What does God deserve from us? Well, the answer is, he deserves everything. He deserves complete and total commitment from us. He has a right to demand 100%. Because he's God. And he's perfect. And it's him who created us in the first place. So he's perfectly entitled to our very best. The second question is, what do we actually give God? I know that we really do try to follow him, but so often don't we just give him cold, half-hearted service? We get the best bits and God gets the leftovers. Or even worse than that, don't we so often intentionally break God's law because we'd rather have our own way than follow God's plan? Every time we sin and every time we give God less than he deserves, we're basically robbing the Almighty God. Every time we sin, we go further and further into the red. And the bad news is that all of us here have decades worth of debt built up in our accounts. And every day, that debt's going up just a bit further. There's a website on the internet which I found this week, and you can see how much debt the US is in. And you can watch it actually rising in real time. There's an Irish version too, and it's around about $1 trillion in Ireland, but in America, the debt is over $14 trillion. I don't know about you, I can't even picture what $14 trillion looks like. But I did get a calculator, and I worked out that you can build the new Lansdowne Road Stadium 24,000 times, and you still wouldn't reach $14 trillion. Such an astronomical number that it doesn't even make sense to us. But the really interesting part of this website is watching the debt go up. And every minute or so, it goes up by around about $1 million. And that's just like the debt that we owe to God. It's so big that we can't even comprehend it. And it's constantly going up. Every night, whenever we go to bed, we owe more than we did when we got up. We could do an experiment tonight. We could try and list all the different ways that we've sinned in the last 24 hours. The problem is, we wouldn't even be able to keep track of it. We're so sinful that we can't even remember all the ways that we mess up. this debt is far, far bigger than any of us realize. This debt is really destructive. Think about the times when other people have sinned against you. It's toxic. It makes it almost impossible to have any sort of friendship with them. And it's the same with our sin against God. It makes it impossible for us to speak to Him or to have any sort of relationship with Him. And most frighteningly of all, our debt destroys any hope that we have for the future. God's justice demands that the debt be paid. He can't just brush it under the carpet. Somebody has to pay for our debt. The mistake so many people make is thinking that they can pay for the debt themselves. There was a story in the news this week about a loan shark in Glasgow, and there was a couple who had borrowed £250 off this man. The problem was they weren't able to pay him back because he charged so much interest that this debt kept going up and up. And this couple paid this man every single week for quite a number of years until eventually they decided they had no choice but to run away. Problem is, by the time they'd done that, they had already paid this man £40,000. And the police worked out that was an annual interest rate of 719,000%. This debt had ruined their lives for years. They tried everything that they could to pay it off. They barely spent anything on themselves. All the money they got went to paying off their debt. It was fairly common for them to have £15 each week to spend on living expenses, because all the rest of it went to this man. And even though they spent all that money and made all those sacrifices, the debt kept on going up and up. Now, I'm not trying to compare God to a loan shark here. That man was exploiting the couple. He was taking money that he had no right to. And the difference is, God's perfectly entitled to demand that we pay our debt. But in a way, isn't our debt just like that couple's? Sometimes we foolishly think that we can clear it. In fact, it's human nature to think that we can clear the debt ourselves. It's really sad that so many people make so many sacrifices to try and make up for their sins, and all the while, their debt just keeps on getting bigger and bigger. In fact, even the good things that we do make us more guilty. Today we're at church. Yet, I'm assuming it's not just me, but what do we find ourselves doing during the Psalms? We're singing the words. So often, aren't we thinking about the farm, or about Sunday lunch, or about school the next day? Or we help somebody out. But why do we do it? Well, sometimes we do it for the right reason. Sometimes don't we do it because we want other people to think highly of us? We're so corrupted by our sin that everything that we do is tainted. We can pray, we can witness, we can stay away from places that other people go, we can avoid doing things that other people do. And yet all the while, our debt keeps on rising. We're like someone who's hands and feet are plastered with muck, trying to clean the house. Doesn't matter how hard you try, you just make things worse. This debt that we owe to God is completely inescapable. It ruins any chance that we have of relationship with God. And it has to be paid back. It's a debt that condemns us to hell. Secondly, we have forgiveness that liberates. Forgiveness that liberates. This debt is the single most important thing any of us are ever going to face. And as we've seen, we can't pay it back, so we need to find some other way of getting rid of it. So isn't it comforting that Jesus includes this fifth request in the Lord's Prayer? He gives us the solution to our problem. The solution is, ask your Father to deal with it. But all the same, it's not quite as easy as some people would like it to be. Because God can't just forgive us and then pretend that nothing happened. God is perfectly just. He has to punish sin. He has to call in the debt. It's impossible for God to just let things go. That's not something that people like hearing today. Often people will say, well, if God's so loving, why can't he just forgive people? Why does he have to punish sin? Thing is, how would those people feel if a judge was to let criminals go free without being punished? They'd be horrified, because they know that justice always needs to be done. And God is the perfect judge. His justice demands that somebody needs to pay for sin. And of course, there's only one person who can pay for sin, and that's God himself. Jesus teaches us here to pray for forgiveness, and he's also the reason why we can be forgiven. Jesus took on our mountains of debt. He paid the price that we owe. We have to be careful about how we picture this. It's not like Jesus is just dipping into his bank account, into his mountains of cash, and paying our debt. Thinking back to that couple who owed all that money, I'm fairly sure Bill Gates could easily pay their debt. That would be great. Thing is, it wouldn't actually cost him all that much, because the man's a billionaire. It would just be a small dent in his fortune. But imagine instead that Bill Gates switched places with that couple. They got his fortune, and he got their debt. And Bill Gates is the one who has to deal with the threats of the loan shark. He's the one who has to struggle to make ends meet. He's the one who has to face the sheer despair of being overwhelmed by the debt. Well, that's closer to what Jesus did on the cross. It was a real cost for him. Jesus took on our debt, and he faced the infinite punishment of the angry God. And what makes it even more amazing is that God didn't just come up with this plan on the hoof. He had this plan since eternity past. Even before we were born, God was able to see our whole lives stretched out in front of him. He was able to see all the ways that we bring shame to his name. He was able to see all the hatred that's in our hearts. He was able to see all those times we refuse to believe in him. He was able to see our lies and our lust and our pride and our jealousy. He was able to see the times we treat other people like dirt. And yet, what was God's response to our sin? Jesus said, I'll take on the whole debt. Is it not amazing that Jesus is prepared to do something like that? you're a Christian, do you realize what a change there's been in your life? I like the illustration in Pilgrim's Progress. Christian has to carry all of his sin on his back. It's a really heavy burden. He finds it hard to walk because this huge weight is dragging him down and exhausting him. And then he goes to the cross and this huge burden rolls off his back. And he's able to enjoy freedom because his sin is completely gone. That's what it's like for us if we're Christians. This huge debt that we've run up is gone. The despair of being bogged down by our guilt is a thing of the past. The fear of not being able to pay our debt is something that's gone forever. We're forgiven. This forgiveness that God gives is emphatic. In Micah we read that God hurls our sins into the bottom of the sea. And if something's at the bottom of the sea, it's gone for good. There's no way anyone is able to bring it back. God doesn't forgive in the same way so many people do, where they say you're forgiven, and then years later bring up the offence to have a go. When God forgives us, our sin is gone. This huge debt doesn't belong to us anymore. Like the way one of the Puritan writers describes it, he imagines God with his account book of all the people who owe him debt, and he scores out our names. And he does it with red lines because it's Christ's blood that blots out our debt. Our debt is gone because Christ took it himself. Realizing this should help us in prayer. Last week we looked at the request before this. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, what reason do we have to think that God is going to give us daily bread? How can we know with certainty that God's not just going to forget us? Surely the fact that even before the creation of the world, God had this plan to deal with our debt should give us confidence. Surely the fact that God's prepared to take our debt and count it as his own should tell us all we need to know. God's prepared to do something as difficult and as painful as forgiving all our sins. Surely he's going to do something as ordinary as providing the things that we need. If we're Christians, we've been forgiven. That doesn't mean we can just sit back. Jesus teaches us here to ask for forgiveness every single day. All of us should be in the habit of confessing our sins. And if you're like me, the temptation you'll face is to be really general. To just pray, God, please forgive me for my sins. But it's better that we're specific. That we name the sins that we've committed. Because whenever we see just how sinful we actually are, we'll see how amazing it is that Jesus took them on our behalf. As we saw this morning, realizing what's been done for us is the key to moving forward. And in God's word, we have the assurance of 1 John. This should encourage us as we pray the different requests in this prayer. John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Jesus rescues us from the tyranny of our debt. Third thing we want to notice tonight is forgiveness that overflows. Forgiveness that overflows. At first glance, this request seems to pose a bit of a problem. Forgive us our debts, as we also forgive, as we also have forgiven our debtors. It almost looks like we're bargaining with God. It looks like we're saying, look at how great I am at forgiving others, and now, in return, please forgive me. And in verse 14, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. It seems from these verses that our forgiveness depends on how much we forgive other people. But as we know from other parts of the Bible, forgiveness doesn't depend on what we do. It depends on what Jesus has done. And besides, how could forgiving a relatively small debt belonging to someone else ever make up for the huge debt that we owe to God? The question is, what is Jesus saying here? Well, I think we can sum it up by saying this. Forgiven people are always forgiving people. Jesus is saying here that all Christians forgive others. He's saying that being a forgiving person is a mark of being forgiven. And that's how we're able to understand verse 15, for example. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. In other words, if you're not prepared to forgive others, then you clearly don't have a changed heart. And if you don't have a changed heart, then you're not a Christian. And you have to pay your debt yourself. This verse should lead us all to examine ourselves. How do we respond whenever people wrong us? Are we prepared to forgive them? Or do we sit there and stew? Do we look for revenge? Or do we move on? Do we forgive people for their mistakes? Or do we tell as many people as we can about what they've done? If our tendency is to hold people's sins against them, we have to seriously ask ourselves, can I actually call myself a Christian? But of course, we have to remember, even those of us who are Christians aren't always forgiving. Sometimes we just can't bring ourselves to forgive others even whenever they ask us. But the fact is, that is sin. Jesus expects us to forgive others whenever they wrong us. And there's no point in denying that that's something that's incredibly difficult. But Jesus has given us the tools to forgive others. Because it's whenever we realise what we've been forgiven that we're able to forgive others. The servant in the parable that we read should have forgiven the other servant who owed him money. I know we tend to think that this second servant only owed a few pennies, but he didn't. He actually owed, in our money, thousands of euro to the other servant. And I know that if somebody owes me thousands of euro, I'm not going to say, well, sure, never worry about it. It would have been hard for him to forgive that other servant. But the point is, he had been forgiven a far greater amount. His debt would have been in the millions of euro, and yet his master forgave him. If that first servant had really grasped what had happened to him, he would have been able to forgive. He would have realised that the two debts don't even begin to stack up. And so it should be with us. We can forgive even the most horrible of sins that are committed against us. And it's because we have been forgiven. Whenever we grasp what Jesus has done for us, we begin to see things in their proper perspective. That's why Corrie ten Boom was able to forgive the guard who tormented her in a concentration camp. He had made her life a complete misery. And yet she also knew that she had a far bigger debt to God, and it had been forgiven. Question is, are we forgiving people? Some of us find it hard to forgive others because we take the cross for granted. If that's the case, we need to remind ourselves of what Jesus has done for us. Because if we don't do that, we won't be able to forgive. And other people's sin is going to fester and poison us. Some people find it hard to forgive because they've never actually been forgiven themselves. And if that's the case, they need to go to the cross as well. They need to ask Jesus to forgive their debt. Because if they don't do that, they'll be just like the servant in this parable. He was handed over to the jailer until he paid all of his debt. Sin causes real problems. For some people, the problem is they've been sinned against, and they just can't deal with the hurt. For other people, the problem is they have this mountain of debt, and there's no way for them to clear it. But for both those people, the answer is the same. It's the cross that deals with those problems. It's at the cross that our debt gets paid in full and we get forgiven. And it's at the cross that Jesus gives us the ability to forgive others. The answer is always to look to the cross. Well, let's come to God in prayer. Father, we confess that all of us have sinned terribly against you. Even today, in the midst of going to church and worshipping you, we have broken your law. We have had wrong attitudes. We have had wrong thoughts about our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, thank you for the encouragement that you are a forgiving God. Thank you for how you deal with our debt. Thank you for how you sent Jesus Christ onto this earth to become guilty himself and to face the punishment that we deserve. Thank you for how in eternity past you chose to love us and you chose to redeem us. Father, we pray that you will help us to keep our eyes fixed on the cross so that we are able to forgive other people. We pray that when we get sinned against, you will show us things in their proper perspective. You will show us how thankful we are to be because of the price that you paid for our salvation. And Father, we pray that this freedom that you give us from the despair of our debt will drive us to praise you and will drive us to love you and to long for you. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.